Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
We have a vitally important topic for you today in our discussion. But before we get to that, we have some great music by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And even before we get to the music, I want to tell you about a wonderful event that is going to be happening coming up soon. And that is the 10th annual Christians United for Israel Summit in Washington, D.C. And on this 10th anniversary, this event, which is always awesome, is going to be even better. You cannot even imagine the wonderful lineup of speakers, and it is such an exciting occasion. I promise you, you will be coming out of your seat with excitement. Not only that, but because of our connection to the state coordinator, we can get you an amazing deal on a wonderful trip, a consolidated package that has a chartered bus transport from Morgantown to Washington, D.C. and back, and we'll chauffeur you around town while we're there, two nights hotel stay, and all of your admittance tickets into all of the events, all for one low price. And this event is so crucial right at this time in history that we go to our nation's capital and advocate for our great ally in the Middle East, and that is Israel, the only bastion of democracy in that rough neighborhood in this world. Not only will you hear wonderful speakers and enjoy an amazing night to honor Israel, some tremendous music, just an all-around wonderful event, but for a portion of our stay, we will be going on to Capitol Hill and into the offices of our senators and congressmen to express to them our desire for the United States to continue its steadfast support of Israel, to thank them for their support, and to advocate that they continue in that. This is tied in somewhat with our topic that's coming up in just a few moments, which is why we must stop Iran, number one state sponsor of terror, from getting their hands on nuclear bomb technology. But first, some great music by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. The name of this song is Let the Worshippers Arise.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, and this is my plea. Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I wanna be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, and this is my plea. Let the worshipers arise.
Let the sons and the daughters sing.
nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the heavens ring. This is our song, a song to our King.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing.
In 2005, a young woman named Maria lost her father. He was killed by an improvised explosive device, an IED, in Iraq. The nation of Iran has single-handedly supplied thousands of IEDs that have killed or maimed America's troops overseas. Now, negotiators are pushing for a nuclear deal with Iran that would give them access to nuclear weapons. Iran is responsible for arming some of the world's most dangerous terrorist groups that have killed hundreds of Americans. They are the leading state sponsor of terrorism and have supplied weapons that have taken the lives of thousands of our troops overseas. Coming up soon is the deadline for negotiators to finalize the nuclear deal with Iran. The deal being discussed not only rewards Iran by giving them billions of dollars up front, that's billions with a B, but it also relies on international inspections with which Iran has refused to comply. This deal only delays Iran's timeline for obtaining a nuclear weapon rather than preventing it completely. We have to act now to ensure that Iran never gets a nuclear weapon. We cannot afford to let radical terrorists get a nuclear weapon. There are five requirements for a good deal with Iran. Number one, inspections and verification. Inspectors must be permitted unimpeded access to suspect sites. More on that in a bit. Number two, we must address the possible military dimensions of their nuclear program. Iran must fully explain its prior weaponization efforts. Number three, sanctions. Relief from sanctions must commence only after Iran complies with its commitments. And number four, the duration. Iran's nuclear weapons quest must be blocked for decades, not just years. And number five, dismantlement. Iran must dismantle its nuclear infrastructure so that it has no path to a nuclear weapon. So let's talk about this a bit more. First, regarding the inspections and verification, inspectors must be permitted unimpeded access to suspect sites. A good deal must support anytime, anywhere inspections, including all military facilities, to verify Iranian compliance. Iran's decades-long history of cheating on international obligations suggests it will secretly attempt to continue its nuclear weapons program. Iran cannot be permitted any safe havens where it could pursue this ambition. Anytime, anywhere means that a good deal must empower the International Atomic Energy Agency to conduct robust and intrusive short-notice inspections of any site, declared or undeclared, including all military locations. No facilities can be off limits in order to verify that Iran is abiding by its commitments and not conducting illicit nuclear activities. There have to be clear protocols. A good deal must establish detailed rules for the inspectors so that Iran has no recourse to employ future delaying tactics. Iran must not be able to veto specific inspections. Inspectors must be able to pursue a lead while the trail is still hot. A good deal must require Iran to accept a monitoring and verification regime that extends beyond the additional inspections ordinarily required under the additional protocol to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The additional protocol alone does not assure the agency access to military sites or Iranian scientists, both of which Iran has insisted it will shield. Expanded inspections are required to verify that Iran is adhering to its commitments. There can be no arbitrary deadlines. A good deal must ensure that a robust inspection regime remains in place until the agency concludes that all of Iran's nuclear work is peaceful in nature and that Iran is not conducting any illicit nuclear activities. There has to be oversight regarding the supply chain. A good deal must establish a mechanism to oversee the entire supply chain of Iranian procurement that supports Iran's nuclear activities. Also, Iran must understand that it will be penalized for any procurement through illicit channels and any diversion of known nuclear materials within Iran. In a letter to the president, signed by 391 House members on March 18 of 2014, it says that any inspections regime should include an agreement granting the International Atomic Energy Agency necessary access to inspect all suspect sites, including military facilities. In a letter to the president signed by 367 House members on March 20th of 2015, any inspection and verification regime must allow for short notice access to suspect locations. And finally, in a letter to the president signed by 83 senators on March 18 of 2014, we believe Iran must also submit to a long-term and intrusive inspection and verification regime. Turning our attention to the second requirement, a good deal must require Iran to come clean on all of its prior nuclear work, such as developing triggers for a nuclear weapon, as required by 6 United Nations Security Council resolutions. The entire scope of Iran's nuclear activities must be known to establish a baseline against which to measure future actions. Iran must also be made to comply with prior commitments. Allowing Iran to shirk them will only tempt it to defy commitments made under a new deal. They have to abide by international commitments. A good deal must require Iran to come clean on the possible military dimensions of its nuclear program. Security Council resolutions 1696, 1737, 1743, 1803, 1835, and 1929, and the resolutions of the International Atomic Energy Agency Board of Governors. They need to fulfill their commitments to the IAEA. A good deal must ensure that Iran ceases stonewalling and reports on past nuclear activities. In fulfillment of its November 2013 commitment to the agency, Iran must come clean on its nuclear weapons research and development, importing, testing, deployment, and delivery systems. Out of 12 agency questions regarding Iran's nuclear program, the Iran regime has only answered one. Iran must make its documents and scientists available to the agency so that they can resolve these questions in accordance with normal agency procedures. We have to establish a baseline. A good deal must require Iran to provide a full accounting of past and present nuclear sites, equipment, material, persons, documents, and activities. Only with this baseline can the agency accurately gauge the breakout time, that is, the time required to produce enough material for one nuclear weapon. 367 House members, in a letter to the President on March 20, 2015, said, "Unless we have a full understanding of Iran's past program, it will be impossible for the international community to judge Iran's future breakout time with certainty." And in that letter from 83 senators on March 18 of 2014, they said that any agreement, quote, "must fully explain the questionable activities in which Iran engaged at Parchin and other facilities." And in a letter to Secretary of State Kerry, signed by 354 House members on October 1, 2014, quote, "An agreement that effectively prevents Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapons capability demands transparency on the extensive research and development work that Iran has undertaken in the past." Turning our attention to the third requirement for a good deal, sanctions. Sanctions relief must commence only after Iran complies with its commitments. So a good deal lifts sanctions gradually as Iran meets its obligations under the agreement. Further, any deal should specify clear and immediate consequences for Iranian violations. The international community must retain significant leverage while Iran demonstrates compliance. It must not provide immediate sanctions relief or unfreeze a significant portion of Tehran's assets so Iran can take the money and run. So this is conditional relief. Despite Iranian demands for immediate and total sanctions relief, a good deal must ease economic restrictions gradually only as the International Atomic Energy Agency provides ongoing verification that Iran is meeting the conditions of the deal. This means no signing bonus. Some reports indicate that up to $30 to $50 billion of Iranian assets held by foreign banks under sanctions could be provided to Tehran for signing an agreement. A good deal must not rush billions of dollars to Tehran for just a signature. Iran's assets should only be unfrozen as they demonstrate full compliance with the requirements. We need to have established consequences. A good deal must provide swift and specific consequences for violations during the process of lifting sanctions and beyond. A good deal needs to provide for dispute resolution. There needs to be a process to provide the P5 plus 1, a defined and rapid mechanism to resolve disagreements over inspections and Iranian behavior prior to unfreezing assets or continuing to ease sanctions. And other sanctions need to be maintained. A good deal must ensure that all non-nuclear U.S. sanctions on Iran remain in place, such as those related to terrorism, human rights, and ballistic missiles. Specifically, sanctions must remain in place against Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is responsible for Iran's support of terrorism, repression, and human rights abuses at home, and also provides considerable support to Syria, Hezbollah, Iraq's Shiite militias, and Yemen's Houthi rebels. The Comprehensive Iran Sanctions Accountability and Divestment Act of 2010, as modified by the Iran Threat Reduction Act of 2012, insists on the termination of U.S. financial and energy sanctions only after the president certifies that Iran has ceased funding international terrorism and relinquished its pursuit of nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons along with ballistic missiles. A good deal must ensure that Iran discloses its supply channels when seeking to procure nuclear-related materials and technologies subject to sanctions to include conventional arms and ballistic missiles. Per the framework agreement, a newly established agency procurement oversight body must enforce this process to prevent Iran from secretly bypassing the agreement and must include important restrictions on conventional arms and ballistic missiles. A bipartisan group of 28 senators sent a letter to the president on July 25th of 2014 saying, quote, "We anticipate that any sanctions relief would be phased in over a lengthy period of time to allow the opportunity to gauge Iranian compliance. Further, the consequences for Iran of non-compliance or breach must be stipulated in the agreement. Any violation of the agreement must be met with a robust U.S. and international response." Turning our attention to the fourth requirement for a good deal in negotiations with Iran, duration. Iran's nuclear weapons quest must be blocked for decades. Any good deal must prevent Iran from becoming a nuclear threshold state. Now, the announced framework would lift nuclear restrictions in 10 to 15 years and grant Iran virtually instant breakout time after 12 or 13 years. A deal must restrict Iran's nuclear capabilities to include research and development until it demonstrates conclusively over time that it no longer seeks a nuclear weapons capability. A good deal must not expire until Iran has proved over time that its nuclear ambitions are for peaceful purposes only. In other words, there can be no early sunset. Iran must not be able to adhere to the limited time constraints of an agreement while it continues to acquire the capability to produce nuclear weapons. There are no assurances that Iran's government or ideology would be more peaceful in 10 years than it has been for the past 35 years. A good deal must extend Iran's breakout time, the time required to produce enough fissile material for one nuclear weapon, beyond 1 year. There must be sufficient time to conclusively determine if Iran has violated the agreement and to galvanize the international community to mount an effective response. According to President Obama, Iran's current breakout time is 2 to 3 months. A good deal must restrict Iran's uranium enrichment program to low-level enrichment, that's 3.5%, in order to establish that its nuclear ambitions are peaceful. Iran should not be freed from restrictions limiting the number and types of centrifuges enriching uranium until it is clear that Iran has no intention to develop nuclear weapons. Removing these restrictions after 10 years, as indicated in the current framework agreement, could give Iran an almost instantaneous breakout time after just a few years. A good deal must ensure a very limited Iranian uranium stockpile, preferably by shipping virtually all enriched uranium out of the country. In addition, all spent nuclear fuel from the Bushehr reactor must be shipped out of the country for the reactor's lifetime. A good deal must, among other measures, counter Iranian nuclear weaponization efforts by limiting Iran's ability to conduct nuclear weapons research, development, and testing for decades. A good deal must monitor the entire supply chain of Iranian procurement that supports Iran's nuclear activities for decades. 367 House members sent a letter to the president on March 20 of 2015 saying, "Verifiable constraints on Iran's nuclear program must last for decades." And finally, the fifth requirement for a good deal in negotiations with Iran is with regard to dismantlement. A good deal must require Iran to dismantle its nuclear infrastructure
and relinquish its uranium stockpile such that it has neither a uranium nor plutonium pathway to nuclear weapons. Merely disconnecting is not sufficient. A good deal must not accept easily reversible steps, but must make it difficult for Iran to break out. Iran asserts that it will not dismantle any of its estimated 19,000 centrifuges. Instead, it may agree to disconnect and store some of them in their own country. The estimated time required to reconnect these centrifuges ranges from 1 week to several months. A good deal must provide a more restrictive mechanism to limit Iran's enrichment capacity. A good deal must address other elements of Iran's nuclear infrastructure to prevent it from realizing nuclear threshold status for an extended period of time. As laid out in the framework, one such step would be to dismantle and remove the core from their Arak heavy water reactor to prevent it from producing weapons-grade plutonium, the second route to a nuclear weapon. And then with regard to their uranium stockpile, a good deal must require Iran to relinquish the overwhelming majority of its uranium stockpile. Given that heavily enriched uranium can be swiftly produced from low enriched uranium, it is critical that Iran cannot have access to a stockpile of significant amounts of low or medium enriched uranium. And then, as laid out in the framework, a good deal must require Iran to sell any heavy water remaining from the Arak reactor on the international market. Going back to that letter by 391 House members sent to the President on March 18 of 2014, quote, "We are hopeful a permanent diplomatic agreement will require dismantlement of Iran's nuclear weapons-related infrastructure such that Iran will not be able to develop, build, or acquire a nuclear weapon." And then in that letter by 83 senators to the President on March 18 of 2014, "Any agreement must dismantle Iran's nuclear weapons program and prevent it from ever having a uranium or plutonium path to a nuclear bomb." Also in that same letter, it says, quote, "Iran has no reason to have an enrichment facility like Fordow." So, what can you do to help? The most important thing you can do as this deadline looms is to contact your senators and your congressmen. When you call, someone from their office will pick up. Tell them that you are a voter from their district, if it's the congressman, or that you are a voter from their state, if it's the senator, and tell them that you agree with the five requirements for a good deal in negotiations with Iran that are published on the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee website at apac.org/Iran. And tell them that if any deal comes for their approval that is a bad deal, that does not meet these requirements, that you want them to vote against that bad deal. Please, as this deadline looms, take time out to call the office of your senators and your congressmen and tell them how you feel about this topic. Again, we must not let radical terrorists get their hands on a nuclear weapon. We must insist on a good deal with Iran.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.